Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show that sounds like that. My name's Cody Johnston. I'm your host today with another person who is also a host. And it is not Katie Stoll. She is out this week. She will be back soon. She sends her love to everybody. She loves you very much. With us today is Dave Schilling, who you have heard before.
Fan favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who said that, but I just assume they've been saying it.
Who's that? Fan favorite? Dave Schilling. Fan favorite.
Favorite Dave Schilling, yeah. That's my legal name.
Yeah,
City Hall, wear my mask, of course, and request that my name be changed to fan favorite Dave Schilling, because then people will be forced to support me in public.
I think you can do that.
I think I can.
I don't think there's anything stopping you.
No, not at all. The professional wrestler, The Ultimate Warrior, changed his name to Warrior so that he could circumvent copyright laws. So I could do it. Yeah.
Yeah, you can, I think.
But we're not alone today, Cody. We have a third person
Show
with us. Who could it be? Fan favorite Katie Golden?
Hi, fan favorite Dave Schilling.
Hello, fan favorite Katie Golden. Sorry, I almost called you Katie Stoll, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh, jeez. No, hi, fan favorite David Schilling, and hi, regular Cody Johnson.
Hello, fan favorites.
Hello. Well, I am excited for today's episode because we have maybe my favorite ever holiday that we're celebrating today, National Be a Dork Day. Cody, have you heard about this? Have you seen this?
Are
people on the street talking about National Be a Dork Day?
Oh,
and more people are celebrating.
It's so strange.
The blogs are going wild for National Be a Dork Day.
Well, let me give you a little history lesson about the origin of this very special and sacred day. It was created by Thomas and Ruth Roy at Wellcat. Wellcat is a company that creates copyrighted holidays. That's what they do. I don't know how they make money off of that. Greeting cards? There are no National Be a Dork Day greeting cards as far as I know, but
so.
I guess they're doing just fine. They have created many unique concepts and ideas for their company that focus on holidays. And I don't know if you know this, Cody and Katie, but the word dork was first used in the late 1800s as an informal slang term for penis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah!
Isn't it like specific, like a whale's penis?
Dork, yes, I believe
dork,
so,
dork,
yes.
Dork, 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 dork.
So not only is it offensive to smart people, but it's also a dirty word.
It's filthy, one
of those porno words that you've heard so much about. I don't really support porno words.
So when I would do math and someone would say, hey, you big old whale penis, they're just calling me a dork. I get it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad.
How do you want to celebrate Be a Dork Day? Because we could talk about the season finale of Loki, or we could just like go to an ad and talk about the news soon.
Why don't we just go to an ad?
Yeah?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
I'm a dork for ads.
Dork, 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 dork.
Speaking of the thing I'm about to say, thanks to ExpressVPN for supporting our show. You probably don't think much about internet privacy on your own home network, but using the internet without ExpressVPN is a bit like driving without car insurance. Visit expressvpn.com/morenews to get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. And furthermore, it wouldn't be a thank you to Skillshare without saying thanks to Skillshare for supporting Even More News. Do something today that you couldn't do yesterday, or do something better today that you couldn't do quite as good as today, yesterday. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/morenews and get a free trial of premium membership. It's time. It's time, folks. It's time to find out what we're talking about at all today that isn't just sort of like random banter. That first 5 minutes before every podcast where you're like, get to it, and then they sort of reference it, and then there's like a period of time where it's like, okay, now you're referencing it. This is making it worse. This is making it worse.
What is going on with Marc Maron's cats these days? Let's find out.
I don't know. But first, it's time for breaking news, because sometimes the news is just broken, and we alone can fix it. So we're going to go to our producer, John Harris, for a bit of breaking news to see if anything has happened today.
Am I allowed to banter too?
No.
Or not? I gotta
keep it tight. We don't have time for you to just ramble on. Tell me what happened.
Got it. I thought this might be an opportunity for me to get some of my classic.
Wrong again,
no,
bud.
No,
wrong
no,
again.
No, 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 no. Swing and a miss.
Okay. First thing I got is that Stephen Breyer, Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, who is 82, turning 83 in August, has said he does not have a timetable for retiring from the Supreme Court. Not sure when he's going to do it, he told CNN, and he reportedly already has a staff of law clerks picked out for the new session, which starts in October.
Hell yeah. I hope they're all 82 as well. He's a spry 82, though. He's spry.
What is the fun of working till you're 82? Why don't these people want to go drink cocktails on the beach?
They're Supreme Court justices, Dave. They don't drink. They don't go on to the beach. They sort of go into the depths of the Supreme Court and hang upside down while they're fed a steady stream of nutritive goo from tubes.
Okay, so this is my problem with National Be a Dork Day. Supreme Court justices are all dorks, and look at what they've done to our country. Maybe we shouldn't celebrate the fact that we're all whale penises, and maybe we should man up a little bit, or woman up. Okay, it's 2021. Maybe it's time we stop giving dorks so much credit. Go get a life, Stephen Breyer. Go do something with your life. Go experience the world. Do a beer bong or something. Quit being an asshole.
Yeah, do just one beer bong.
Snort one line of cocaine.
Go hang out with Squee and do some beer.
Go hang out with Kavanaugh. Beer.
Like, toss the old pig skin around.
Yeah.
Would you guys support a 20-year term limit, some form of term limit for Supreme Court justice?
20 years is too long.
Yeah, absolutely. It's completely dumb that our entire country's like desires can be overruled by some old people that someone who isn't even elected by the majority of people gets to just sit there for life. It's completely dumb. Yeah.
It's so frustratingly wild that he is still in this mode. And like, after everything, we don't need to go into the history of the past like 3 or 4 years. But like, now, the same people who are writing pieces like, Ginsburg shouldn't retire. Leave her be. They're doing the same thing with him. It's the same people saying the same thing.
It's always, well, we got to stand by our principles. Can't retire for political reasons. And then the conservative justices is just like, well, I'm 52 and I can bench press like 500 pounds, but I'm going to retire. And then rushing through their thing. It's just kind of, it's this frustrating feeling of seeing these sort of more quote-unquote liberal or centrist judges just like, well, I'm just going to turn the other cheek. And I don't really, it's all kind of this big like sort of game, a chess game. It's like whoever's the most polite wins this game of Supreme Court justices while people are literally going to die because of their decisions that they make.
Well, it's ultimately just selfishness. You know, it's these people who like to have power. It's people who like to be the center of attention. It is a philosophy that is so ingrained in American life that it seems normal to most people. Oh, yeah. Why would you want to quit your job if you didn't have to? Especially if you get to be super powerful.
You know what it is? It's the outfits. We give them... We give them outfits that are too cool, like too
comfortable,
fanciful.
Probably.
Too comfortable. Right? There's too much airflow. It's too fanciful.
It's like you can wear your jammies to work, basically, is what the situation
is. If we
is.
Gave them khakis and polos, who would want to remain a Supreme Court justice for the rest of their life, you know? You give them
two ties. You have to wear two ties.
We can't tell if these people have any personal style of their own because they're all wearing these smocks, you know, the jammies, the muumuus, if you will. So we don't know what's underneath there. We don't know how they dress. We need to make sure that going forward, everybody who is a Supreme Court justice looks good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you guys.
What's
did you
up?
Know that Spike Lee wants you to buy cryptocurrency? Because he did a commercial for this thing called Coin Cloud.
Is it going to work? Am I going to buy it now?
Your money goes into a box and then it floats up into the clouds and you never see it again.
What if I want it? When does it rain?
It won't ever again. I don't know if you've been outside recently. It will never rain again.
I do like to entrust my life savings into something as stable and sturdy and long-lasting as a cloud.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Here, let's. I'm going to try and play a clip of this thing right now.
7 million Americans have no bank account. 20 million are underbanked.
Old money is not going to pick us up. It pushes us down. Exploits. Systematically oppresses.
But new money is positive.
Inclusive.
You don't have to wear no fancy lace.
Fluid. Strong. Culturally rich.
This is just that CIA commercial, but for cryptocurrency.
Wouldn't it be cool to not have a bank? Banks are lame. Like, I'm perplexed by
multiple
things. Someone
with anxiety. Sorry.
We're not your dad's bank.
I'm so bothered by this because it is Spike Lee, a black man, maybe one of the most famous black men in this country, coming out in a commercial saying, oh, you know what, cryptocurrency isn't racist. That's essentially what he's saying. It's like, it's not racist.
Right.
It's inclusive. Everyone can have it. And saying that people are underbanked. He used the word underbanked.
Underbanked. It's real.
What a word. I want to read a couple quotes here from this guy, Jackson Palmer, who was sort of at the beginning of the Bitcoin craze. He said, after years of studying it, I believe the cryptocurrency is an inherently right-wing, hyper-capitalist technology built primarily to amplify the wealth of its proponents through a combination of tax avoidance, diminished regulatory oversight, and artificially enforced scarcity. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thread. It's a great thread if you want to think about why this sucks.
Yeah.
But I will say that to condense his point, it is that there is no regulation behind this stuff. No one is in charge. And Spike Lee going out and doing this commercial makes it seem like, oh, the freedom is great. But you will be taken advantage of. Financial regulations exist to protect you.
Yep.
That's why they were written into law. Not to protect the bank. It's to protect you. And so by saying, oh, we don't need regulations, I can do whatever I want with my Bitcoin or my Dogecoin or whatever, you're basically saying you don't care if the world steps on you.
Yeah, it's this idea that we really just need to fight racist laws instead of racist systems. So this idea that, oh, if you lift regulations from something, it's completely free, you know, a wild frontier, it inherently won't be racist, is ignoring the fact that all of the rest of our financial system is definitely racist and classist and exploitative. So I don't see how lifting regulations is suddenly going to cure the problems of our entire capitalist system that is already extremely biased in favor of people who already have power and money.
Yeah, the gaps in the ways in which people are marginalized will get worse if we have no centralized government regulated banking system. Capitalism on its face is discriminatory and prejudiced. That is the point of it, is to put some people on top, some people in the middle to protect the people on top from the people at the bottom. And so if you're going to say, you know, look, capitalism, if we just make capitalism more free, everyone will be more free, misunderstands the point of capitalism.
If we got rid of child labor laws, wouldn't it be like more inclusive to children?
That's exactly what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. It is the same thing.
Yeah, multi-level marketing schemes are inclusive as well. Everyone,
right? Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Everyone can be taken advantage of in the same way. We can all get fucked the same way.
Just
wouldn't,
like,
that be nice?
Right out of the gate, it's just so funny because, like, the premise is like old money. Old money's not going to do it for us, right?
We need hot new money.
New money. New money. You see,
future money. Future
money's money. Money's not the problem. It's the old money. If we make it the new money, then money is good now.
Yeah.
Money is how we solve it.
This is one of the
root of all evil. What's that fucking phrase that we teach children?
Oh boy, I don't know. I've never heard it
Jesus
before.
Jesus Christ.
I think the phrase is money is the root of all evil unless it's new. In the cloud and you have to use a blockchain to get it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love this tweet by Edward Onwuesu Jr., who wrote a little an article in Vice about the Spike Lee thing. He said Spike Lee did the wrong thing. Which
mm-hmm. Here's the thing: money can't be evil if it's working for you.
Exactly, and this new money does. It works. It works for only you. Everybody else that we're talking to as well.
It's just they're so, gonna get it's less. So bad, and this is one of the most heinous pieces of propaganda I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So blatant. And Spike Lee is like, how much are you going to pay me to do an ad for Coin Cloud? Whatever it takes, I'll do it. Give me the money. Like, God damn.
He was supposedly upset that he was offered a chance to invest in Crocs years ago and didn't do it. And he always regretted it.
And so now he's...
Crocs is not killing the planet.
Yeah, well...
You can wear a pair of Crocs for decades and not have to buy more.
Old shoes are out. New shoes will solve the world's problems.
What if we use Crocs, crypto Crocs? Crocs is currency. And we've cracked it.
Oh, we'll be there soon enough, Katie. Don't you worry.
Croctocurrency. Excellent.
So the four of us are currently in Los Angeles, correct?
California?
Los Angeles, California. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. Los Angeles is reinstituting the mask mandate this weekend because of an uptick in cases among primarily unvaccinated people driven by the Delta variant.
Mm. Oops.
Yep.
Whoops.
Oops, all COVID.
Whoopsie.
Oops,
whoopsie,
all COVID berries. Duper.
You know, I don't want to say the good news. It's not good news. COVID's bad and it's still around. The science on this stuff is still sound. The vaccines we have right now are protective against the Delta variant, and literally 100% of the people in the hospital right now in LA County are among people who are not fully vaccinated, which means either unvaccinated or partially vaccinated.
Literally 100%?
That's what they said.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
You should get vaccinated.
Like, I don't know why that question, like, I phrased it as if I was surprised. I just wanted to clarify.
Well, right, because like, there are some breakthrough infections.
Of course.
There are a lot of people out there that need to be reminded that the vaccines are incredibly effective at preventing you from going to the hospital and dying. You can still get COVID. It is very possible. It happens all the time. It will continue to happen.
You know who would disagree, though?
No.
The extremely definitely vaccinated Tucker Carlson.
But if you ask him about it, he'll be like, you might as well have just asked me what my favorite sex position is.
It is fucking wild that man has said that several times in response to that question. And nobody is like, actually, that's a different question. You can ask me if I've been vaccinated and I'll answer normally.
Also, I'll tell you what my favorite sex position is. Missionary, like a normal person.
Mine is getting vaccinated, but it's like
I want to be having sex while being vaccinated.
Yeah.
There's no rush better than getting that needle stuck in you while you're getting stuck into something else.
Getting two needles stuck in you, am I right?
Sex joke. I really want to, before we move on, make it super clear what we are saying. Go get vaccinated if you are not. I'm sure 100% of the people who listen to this show are vaccinated, unless you're hate listening. In which case, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's paying everybody's salary who's on this show.
I'm sure
not me, but everybody else. But if you are worried about going to the grocery store, if you're worried about seeing your family, if you're worried about even going to a sporting event, like, wear a mask like they're telling you and live your life as best you can, because the despair and the dread is only going to make things worse. So try to accept that unfortunately this is how it's going to be for a long time, because 30% of the population or more refuses to get vaccinated. But you got to live your life.
Yeah, and you know, if people out there, if you have loved ones or friends who say something like, well, we just don't know, we just don't have research on the long-term effects of the vaccine. We do already know the long-term effects of COVID, which are bad. They are bad for, it's bad for your heart. If you get a really bad case of COVID, we're finding there's damage to the heart, damage to the lungs, potentially even damage to the brain. So we know bad cases of COVID can be really bad for your entire body,
even if you don't die.
So we know that 100%. It's true. We don't know the long-term effects of the vaccine. We have found no long-term effects of it so far. So I think in your risk analysis, you got to go with, what do we know? We know getting COVID means if you get a really bad case, which you're much more likely to get without the vaccine. In fact, like if you have the vaccine, I don't think there have been many bad cases at all of it if you're fully vaccinated. So, you know, it's to me, it's a no brainer.
Delta variant is much worse than the first strain of COVID that came to America. So the chances of you being severely hospitalized keep going up if you don't get vaccinated.
Yes.
So why are you not doing it? I mean, we could spend all day yelling about this.
Yeah.
But it really is a choice that you are now making.
Yes.
You are making the choice. You are making the choice.
Also, protect to prolong people. This. If you don't care about yourself, protect other people, because some people can't get vaccinated because they're immunocompromised or their children. Protect them. When you get a vaccine, you are directly helping other people. It's not just about, it's not your your own.
That's called medical
decision.
Communism.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Dang it.
We now live in a world where capitalism has melted your brain so much that you, not you, Katie, but people on the on the wrong side of history, I mean, say, who cares if someone dies? I need to get what I want. And
I'm
I want to do what I
that,
want.
To be honest.
That's true, you are. That is the most striking part of American society that is not something that I remember growing up, but then I was a naive little child.
Yeah.
But there was a little bit more care given to other people and their safety, and public health is the beginning of that, and to not give a shit about people dying is incredibly terrifying.
If you look into the history of plagues that have, you know, plagued humanity over the years, it's striking to see the similarities between like the Black Plague or like the Spanish influenza and these attitudes that people often had of, you know, well, you know, I understand that there's a plague, and even before we understood germ theory, we knew that going into a plague-ridden town was bad, but you would still have the nobility just not believing it would affect them, and waltzing into a plague-stricken town, be like, oh, how quaint, look at all these dying peasants, it's quite a fun, rollicking time, and then they'd all get the plague and die too. So,
oh, yeah.
I wish for once in our human history we would learn, just everybody kind of get on the same page of like, oh, right, a plague, we actually have to coordinate together as a species. We can't, you know, because that's how we have
at times in America, and it didn't make us fall into tyranny. And just the it'd be nice if everyone, like, again, I keep come back to like kind of, Dave, what you were talking about, like when you were a kid and like the money thing. We just a large faction of people who like seem to think that like, well, we teach kids good morals so that like they're like good kids, but then like they get to the real world and that's when you throw them out the window. Like it's just sort of agreed upon thing. Like, well, yeah, we lie to the kids to like be good, knowing that eventually you're going to become an adult and then you can throw all that stuff out the window. And
yeah.
Like, well, no, sharing is stupid. All this stuff is like,
yeah.
I don't know.
We don't force adults to watch movies and TV shows about how to be good because we assume that they have learned that lesson by the time they get to be 18. But boy, guess what? Doesn't work that way.
As you were talking about, all the people who learned this lesson the hard way died learning it the hard way, and thus it doesn't carry on so much centuries later. Anyway,
cool.
before we move on, guys, today or yesterday, if you're listening to this tomorrow, is the 9th anniversary of the release of Gangnam Style on YouTube.
Yes!
Yeah! Oh!
Finally!
Fuck! Oh,
dun, dun,
I
dun, dun,
oh,
dun,
no.
dun, 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 dun.
Oh, I need to call my mom.
Yeah.
Tell her.
National Be a Dork Day and Gangnam Style anniversary. This is a big week.
You guys want to hear some stats about,
please, God,
sure,
yes,
Gangnam Style?
Oh, God.
So, you know it.
First YouTube video to cross 1 billion views about, 5 months after it was uploaded in December 2020. Held the record for most viewed video of all time until 2017, when it was surpassed by Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth's See You Again and Luis Fonsi's Despacito.
Both great songs.
But today, Gangnam Style is only the 10th most popular video on YouTube of all time with 4.11 billion views. Does anyone have a guess here at number one?
Baby Shark?
Yep, it's Baby Shark.
Perfect.
You took my entire quiz segment. I'm so sorry. Stump you. No.
I'm sorry for being so goddamn smart all the time.
As someone with a child, I know that they will watch a video 100 times in a row.
Yeah.
That's the algorithm right there, the YouTube algorithm.
Yeah, it's not that it's been viewed by the most people. It has been replayed so many times.
Yes.
Because children innately understand how to break their parents. They kind of have this, they understand torture, essentially. They know how to psychologically break their parents.
Yeah, sort of like Pinhead from Hellraiser.
Adorable.
Exactly like Pinhead from Hellraiser. One fun, this isn't actually a fun fact or a fact at all. It's a recommendation. If it always makes me think of this sketch, Gungan Style.
Ah, yeah, Star Wars.
And I know how that sounds.
I know
you think that a video called Gungan Style is going to be really, really bad.
You're taking National Dork Day to the extreme.
No. It's Nick Weiger, if anyone's familiar with him.
I'm very good friends with Nick.
It's an old sketch of his from Funny or Die, and it's fucking incredible. And I highly recommend everybody go watch that video. You will be surprised and enjoy it, I promise.
That's all
I'm going to say. People love podcasts where someone's like, listen to, or watch this thing, and they don't even describe anything about it, and they just sort of vaguely recommend it, right?
Remember this video? Check it out.
If I can't click on it during this podcast, I'm not gonna watch it. That's too much extra work.
Click.
Spell out the URL.
Sentence.
http://.
So while you're watching Gungan Style on YouTube.com, also listen to these sketches. They're ads for products. Okay, let's cut the nonsense, because it's time once again to thank Skillshare, the online learning community that offers membership with meaning and stuff. Skillshare empowers you to grow, learn, create, and explore via the awesome power of watching and listening and learning and stuff. Skillshare can help you achieve your goals with short lessons and hands-on projects that are rewarding and affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. It wouldn't be a Skillshare ad without mentioning the Some More News mascot, no, not Warmbo, but the legend himself, Snoofle Doofle, who was created from nothing and transported to the beginning of time. Thanks to the Skillshare class, simple character animation, create a walk cycle with Duik from Fraser Davidson. Something I used to do poorly in After Effects that took way too much time can now be done easily and quickly and better. And now you have to suffer and praise the might and beauty and pain of Snoofle Doofle, as do all who stand in his way. Nobody. Nobody will stand in his way. Or if you're not into whatever I was just talking about, they also have classes on video editing, productivity, music, and much more. So hey, hi, how's it going? What's snoofin' my doofin'? Why not explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/morenews and get a free trial of premium membership. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is a bit like driving without car insurance, or a bike without a helmet, or the internet without a VPN. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, cafes, hotels, airports, bars, airport bars, hackers on the same network can gain access to your personal data, passwords, financial details, favorite bars. It doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack someone, just some cheap hardware. A smart 12-year-old could do it. Also, please don't. Just go play Minecraft instead. Your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling personal info on the dark web. Again, please don't. ExpressVPN acts as online insurance or a helmet. It creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so hackers can't steal your personal data. Like if a helmet created a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. ExpressVPN is very secure and simple, which helps technologically illiterate dopes like myself, so I can just fire up the app and click one button to get protected on any device. Phones, laptops, tablets, and more. If there's a fourth type of device.
Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/morenews. That's expressvpn.com/morenews, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/morenews. And we're back from you watching Gungan Style.
Oh, it feels so good.
Ah, so good.
It was a good video.
So good. Wasn't it good?
Yeah.
Soup for the soul.
Don't we miss, like, online sketch?
Don't we miss episode one, The Phantom Menace? I know I do. But it's available for $9.99 a month on Disney Plus. I'm sorry, that's not an ad. I'm just kidding. God. Okay, we're gonna do some news right now. I'd like to talk about some news, if that's okay.
Sure, go for
acceptable,
it.
Acceptable, yes.
What the heck?
Well, the show is called Even More News, and guess what, folks? We have even more news than you thought today. It's going to be a busy, long show. All right, first of all, Texas Democrats have left Texas again. Why don't they just not come back at all? What if they just took a long vacation? Because this is going to keep happening over and over and over and over and over until they eventually have to vote on this stuff that is so heinous. Now, if you are wondering what the hell I'm talking about, folks, here's a primer. Once again, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas has called a special session of the Texas State Legislature to pass a bunch of shitty laws that nobody really wants. Here are some of the things included in these shitty bills. He wants to outlaw 24-hour polling places. If we could have a 24-hour 7-Eleven, we should have a 24-hour polling place. He wants to ban ballot drop boxes because he doesn't want it to be easy for you to vote. He wants to ban drive-through voting. And he wants a new voter ID requirement to absentee ballots. And he wants to prohibit local election officials from sending in mail-in ballot applications to voters. And give partisan poll watchers more power to do what, you might ask? To watch harder? I don't know.
Why would they do this? Why would they make it? It almost seems like they're trying to make it harder to vote, which seems weird in a democracy.
Yeah, I'm not sure why you want to make it harder to vote unless the people that are being kept from voting are people that aren't going to vote for you in the first place, which is exactly what is happening in Texas. This is a not-so-subtle attempt to prevent people of color, liberals, college-educated people, people who would not vote for Greg Abbott, preventing them from voting at all. And that's not good. But there's more in these bills. It's not just about voting. They also want to require student-athletes to compete on teams that correspond to their gender assigned at birth. So there's a little trans bigotry in here, too. Oh,
just
and...
A little spice, a little seasoning
and
transphobia.
And what is a Republican-written law, state law, without a little bit of anti-abortion horseshit?
And there it is. And boom goes the dynamite.
They want to ban the delivery of abortion medication and ban pill-induced abortions after 7 weeks.
Huh.
You might not even know you're pregnant yet.
Yeah.
After 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that is what's going on. The Democrats have left again. It is unlikely that this will stop this from happening. They're going to have to go back at some point. What's really strange is that there are some in the Republican Party who are saying they should arrest these people and force them to come back to Texas. That's not allowed. You legally can't do that. Texas police officers have no jurisdiction outside of Texas.
Also, haven't Republicans done the exact same thing?
Of course they have.
Yes, they have.
Hypocrisy is part of the system.
Didn't Ted Cruz of Texas leave Texas during the cold snap that killed a bunch of people just for fun so he could have fun in Cancun?
His wife really wanted him to go.
At this point, do you blame anybody for leaving Texas? Not because it's a bad place, but because it's a poorly run place that's very dangerous where you can get shot on the street because people are carrying guns everywhere.
When I hear people complain like, well, you know, they need to be polite and reach across the aisle and go with the process of the law. It's like Republicans have shown repeatedly that they don't give a single solitary crap about being polite, the process, the spirit of the law. They'll do whatever it takes, you know, biting pocket sand, whatever, to get their crappy laws through. But whenever the Democrats show any sign of having a spine the consistency a little harder than Jell-O, people are like, "Oh, well, that's impolite. Like, why are you doing that? That's rude. Who cares anymore? It's clear that Republicans have no interest in, you know, like playing a civil game or anything. There's just no. They tried to do a goddamn coup, guys. Just leaving the state to try to prevent a law to prevent people from voting and getting medical care. That's fine. That's fine with me. It's like the best thing Democrats have done in a while.
And you might ask yourself, well, what are they doing at a national level? Not a whole lot. Kamala Harris said that she's having closed door discussions with lawmakers about something Jim Clyburn, a senator from South Carolina, recommended: a carve out to the legislative filibuster in the Senate for legislation that applies to the Constitution. Will that happen? We'll see. Joe Biden gave a speech encouraging the passage of a federal voting bill, which we've tried to do before. But of course, nothing is actually happening. The same problems that faced the For the People Act will happen again, because there are a certain number of people in the Congress and the Senate that will refuse to vote for this no matter what, because it is in their best interest to, again, prevent people from voting. So this is really just kind of a little bit of theater, because the Democrats in Texas know at some point this is going to pass. They can only leave the state so many times before they just have to give up. So what is going to happen? What is the solution to this problem? I don't see what it is. If I did, I probably would be running the Democratic National Committee, but I am not. The thing that is really troubling for me, and I think for everybody else who's paying attention, is what will happen when Texas redistricts. And redistricting will prevent Democrats from ever winning another major office in that state. Redistricting will crush the Democratic Party, similarly to how in California the Republican Party is as inept as humanly possible and will probably never elect another Republican governor in my lifetime. So what do we do, Cody? I want to ask you, what's the solution to this problem?
Log off and spend time with your loved ones.
That's the solution to every problem on this show. Why
yes,
is that?
Yes, it is.
I don't want it to seem hopeless to the people out there that are listening. There is nothing concrete or obvious that can be done now. But the fact that we do know these problems exist and we are working is the best we can do. Unfortunately, there are people in power, people like Dianne Feinstein in the Senate, who may or may not have all their faculties, that refuse to resign. Stephen Breyer, Supreme Court Justice, refuses to resign, as we talked about earlier in the show.
He's not wearing anything under those robes. What
he's
going to do?
His dick and balls are just flopping around
he's
in
like,
there.
Well, I can't. If I take off the robes, everyone's going to see my saggy, baggy dick and balls.
As long as these people who have no spine, who are just interested in consolidating their own little tiny fiefdoms of power and going to cocktail parties, remain alive, they are going to prevent anything from changing. I'm not saying we should go out and do anything to these people. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I will be happy when they die, because I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. What I am saying is that they are the problem, and that's a fact.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm also just really tired of these talks of like incremental change, because usually what incremental change is like means is barely doing anything at all, and then as soon as Republicans take power, they like get rid of all the incremental change you've made, plus a bunch of other civil rights that they take away, and then we get back in office, or not we, I'm not Joe Biden. Democrats get back in office and they're like, well, we're not gonna undo most of what the Republicans just did, but we'll make a little tiny incremental change like we did when, you know, I don't know. I know we're going to talk about Cuba in a little bit, but all these like disastrous foreign policy things that the Trump administration did, Biden's not like going back on. He didn't go back on like the terrible diplomacy we had with Iran or with Cuba. It's just kind of these little things of like, oh, well, you shouldn't have done that. But anyways, even though we're in power, nothing we can do about that. Well, maybe we'll try to maybe propose that, possibly, maybe, I don't don't know if you're feeling it. We should make it such that people could maybe sometimes vote. If not, if you're not feeling it, that's cool. That's fine. That's cool. That's fine. It's just so frustrating.
Well, it's convincing people to do things that are outside of their best interest. And having more people vote is outside the best interests of the people that are in power. And that is the problem with the system. The system should not be set up that way, where the people in power can decide how their boss, us, the voters, get to pick who is going to be in power. They are always going to make the self-interested decision. Always. And it is going to be a decision for them to consolidate their power, to stay in charge, and to not be swept out by a cascading wave of frustrated, angry people who are starving, living on the street, suffering because of inaction from those people. So it's always going to be that way. Speaking of people being in the streets, I do want to talk about Cuba now. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the protests, the anti-government protests, the largest in decades that have happened over the last week. Not begging, because begging seems unfair to this situation, but they are demanding that problems that could be fixed be fixed. Their healthcare system is collapsing because of COVID. They don't have enough vaccines. They don't have enough food to feed people. Blackouts are commonplace. Market shelves are empty all across Cuba. And, of course, President Miguel Díaz-Canel called the protesters violent criminals, because that's what we call protesters now, is criminals.
Everywhere.
But yeah, not just Cuba. Yeah, let's talk about America, too, because, of course, as this protest movement began, the United States, as they often do, took the moral high ground when it was not appropriate. But we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
We always love protesters in other countries, especially countries that are quote-unquote enemies. Hate protesters in our own country.
Ah, the smell of freedom is spreading across Cuba, isn't it?
It's also interesting because whenever, you know, the statement is always like, well, we stand with the people of Cuba. Which people are you talking about? Because there were also protests, like, against this protest. Like, there are groups of people who disagree. And it's just always like, okay, but like,
we stand with the people of Cuba who live in the state of Florida, which has 27 right, like, electoral votes. I don't know how many they have, but that is what it's all about.
Do you stand with them enough to take them in as refugees or nah? Is that not?
And make them register Republican. That is the point of all of this. And I, as we go through the rest of the story, you will see why these decisions are made in the United States around Cuba.
It's funny because people assume that because people in Cuba are protesting their current government and protesting the current situation, that they are suddenly going to the side of like, oh, now they're becoming pro-capitalism and anti-communism. Because like, clearly when you protest a government, like whenever we have a government protester, an anti-government protester, everybody's now becoming communist, turning against capitalism in the U.S. Like the you know, January 6th coup attempt must have been anti-capitalist, mm-hmm. right? Because it was anti-government. So this is it's an assumption of, you know, well, we stand with the Cuban people. It's like, well, what do the Cuban people believe in? Like, they're probably really annoyed and very desperate right now for there to be some change because of the lack of resources, some potential mishandling of resources. I know we're going to talk about the embargo too, which is contributing to it, but it's, you know, I don't think if you took one of these protesters and talked to them that they'd be like, yeah, no, I super love America. I'm pro America now. I love capitalism. I've completely turned against, you know, everything our country stands for. Also on, this is just a funny thing, on Fox News, they were showing coverage of the protest, but they blurred out one of the protesters' sign.
Yeah. Because
the sign had a pro-revolutionary message on it saying, like, the revolution is in the streets. Basically, like, saying, like, we're still revolutionary, but we're protesting the current situation. But Fox News had to blur that out because that did not align with their message of what the Cuban people are saying.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, yeah,
that's,
I mean, it is easy to project meaning onto any event now because of mass communication, because of the internet. We can pretend like a thing that happened means one thing or another depending on where we fall on the political spectrum. But it is especially easy when it's a country with no mass communication whatsoever. That makes it super easy because we can't talk to them and ask them what's going on. So Cuba can mean whatever it wants to whomever decides that they want to have an opinion about it.
I think what they're saying is that Katie Golden is a fan favorite, right?
I think that's what the sign said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what the sign says.
It's blurred out. You can't read it, but I'm pretty sure it says Katie Golden, Dave Schilling, fan favorites of the year.
Fan favorites. But let's talk about that embargo that you brought up, because it is one of the contributing factors to this problem. It is not the only one. Let us not pretend the president of Cuba is a good guy, because he is not.
Most presidents aren't.
Most leaders of countries around the world are not good people.
No more.
They
presidents are
not here to help. They are here to be in charge because they want to be in charge. No one who becomes a world leader is an altruistic person. Okay? They're all narcissists. That is the one thing that unites every successful person, is that they're a narcissist. Anyway, U.S. embargo has been in place.
What were you saying about me being fan favorite? What? Anyways, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, exactly. Sorry. I didn't realize this is the Katie Golden show now. A U.S. embargo has been in place for Cuba for 60 years.
It's a long
and
time.
The Trump administration somehow made it worse.
Yeah.
The Obama administration, not giving them credit for this, I'm just saying it happened, did try to make efforts to loosen these restrictions, loosen the embargo, open up Cuba to the leaders at the time. Just a little bit.
Just the tip.
As we were talking about whale penises, we can talk about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just the tip of the Obama administration going into Cuba, presumably for the reason of spending money there and getting people to buy stuff. That is why anything like this happens. It is not necessarily to give aid to a country. It is to allow people to go on vacation there.
Interests are aligned.
Exactly, yes.
But we have not fixed the worsening of the embargo that happened under Trump.
Exactly.
And furthermore, we have made, like, what we should be doing is just not have an embargo anymore, because what strikes me is whenever, like, Joe Biden or you know, political person wearing some kind of suit number 27 says, we stand with the people of Cuba. It's like, okay, lift the embargo. That'd help them. Like, that'd give them more food. That'd give them more medical supplies. Lift the embargo. We can do that. We can't coup the president in Cuba, but Katie, we all know we could. Probably.
We could give them syringes and should, because they need syringes.
And unfortunately, we are not giving those to them.
Yeah.
I'm gonna read an excerpt from a Miami Herald article. Trump-era sanctions made it harder for Cuba to buy syringes from major manufacturers, which are already swamped with orders from bigger, richer countries. When it became clear the island wouldn't manage on its own, aid organizations in the U.S. and Europe sprang into action. Now, this is specifically related to COVID, because you need a syringe to get a vaccine. They launched campaigns to collect donations to buy syringes and then shipped them to the island to help narrow a deficit of as many as 25 million syringes. A campaign to collect donations. This sounds like GoFundMe for an entire country.
You know what's funny to me is I always see these conservative memes of, like, communism has failed, like, everywhere it's been tried. You know, look at Cuba. Now, I'm not like ideologically like, oh, communism is great and it would always work. But it's a strange argument to me because we're always meddling in communist countries. So it's like, we did an embargo on Cuba, so it's like, oh, see, this is what would happen. I mean, people conflate communism and socialism, so they'll point to Cuba and see. It's like, see, look.
Oh,
they're
super, they're doing both now.
They're doing both or something. Yeah, yeah. But, like, see, this is why we can't have socialism in America, because you look at Cuba and it's not working there. It's like, okay, if you're sure that their system wouldn't work, lift the embargo, because then we would be hands off. And then
prove
we would,
it, like, prove it for real.
Prove it for realsies, because when we're tipping the scales by having an embargo, you know,
we're making their lives worse on purpose.
Yeah.
That is what this is making their lives worse on purpose.
Whenever you hear embargo or sanctions, it sounds really sanitized. It doesn't sound warlike. It's not the same as bombing someone or drone striking. It sounds like, oh, that's kind of like hardcore diplomacy. It kills people. Embargoes and sanctions kill people.
Prolonged suffering is what it does.
Because it starves through starvation or lack of medical supplies. It kills people. So,
and this is what they're doing in Israel to the Palestinians.
It's preventing exactly the same thing. Yeah.
Basic aid and resources to try to starve people into submission.
Right. It's what we've been doing to Iran. Again, like whenever we're like, oh, we disagree with this country's government, but we don't hate the people. When we do sanctions that kill the people, it kind of seems like we hate the people, too.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. you know, it's whatever problem we have. And I'm not saying that, oh, you know, Cuba's government is perfect. But why are we punishing people if we care about the people like we're saying we do? Like, oh, we stand with the people of Cuba. All right, then lift the gosh darn embargoes, because that's who it's hurting.
Well, there's a reason why the embargo exists, and I'm going to explain it right now so you understand. Our good friend Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, we all know him, right? He signed in April, an anti-riot law that makes it illegal to block a roadway. Don't tell that to anybody who has a block party or any sort of, like, farmer's market or
right,
something.
Like also, side note, like, this is all in tandem with a response to the protests of the last
This is a decade, response
In like with an element of forgiving and allowing and promoting people running over protesters.
This is a nod and a wink to the people that Ron DeSantis thinks are going to vote for him for president in 2024.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it, when protests start to represent more people who are, let's say, maybe Black or Native American, we suddenly start to do things like, hey, maybe we should be able to murder protesters? I don't know, just throwing it out there. Isn't that a little weird?
Yes, it's very weird. So this law comes into effect in April. He signs it in April. Of course, during these protests in Cuba, there is a corresponding protest in Florida, representing expatriates from Cuba who are protesting the regime that runs Cuba. They were blocking a freeway this week. No arrests were made. Ron DeSantis, the man who signed the anti-riot law, called it a peaceful assembly. Now, why would Ron DeSantis, the man who signed the anti-riot law, say that this illegal assembly was so great? Well, it's because the constituents of the state of Florida are very important to the Republican Party, to him, not just now, but once again, to his 2024 presidential election chances. You cannot win as a Republican unless you win Florida. So if he lost Florida, boy, he's done. And guess what kinds of people are in Florida voting Republican? Lots and lots and lots of Cuban expatriates, because the Republican Party has made a concerted effort to be anti-Castro and anti-Cuban government for 6 years. And that has made Cuban independence from the Castro regime an important issue, when it has long since become irrelevant to the American project of destroying communism. There was a time in the 60s when people said, oh, Cuba being communist means that Stalin, well, not Stalin, but like Khrushchev is on our doorstep and he's going to launch missiles from there. So, okay, I understand from a purely militaristic standpoint, a national defense standpoint. I don't agree with it. I don't like any of that stuff, but that's why. That doesn't exist anymore. So why do we care about Cuba and what they do? They don't have oil. They don't have anything we want, except for rum, but we can make that here too. What they have isn't even a resource that exists in the country. It is people that left.
Yep.
That are now voting Republican. And that is why Joe Biden, despite being the vice president for the president who tried to open up Cuba.
I thought you were going to say, despite being the vice president of the United States.
Right. He might not know right now.
Maybe, you know, yeah.
Despite being part of the Obama administration effort to reopen Cuba, has done nothing to lessen this embargo. Not a thing. He's like, it'll be fine. It's okay. The United States rejected yet another UN resolution begging for the embargo to end. The 29th consecutive 29th. Year the UN demanded the end of the blockade. Demanded it. And the U.S. voted against it. And who else did? You want to guess what other country voted against it besides
Israel?
The U.S.?
Was it?
Israel. The United States of Israel did that. And that's why this is never going to change. And it's never going to end. It's because of Cubans in Florida being a major voting bloc. And they're allowed to think what they want. I am not pro Cuba. I am not any.
You're pro people not dying. Yeah.
So that is just, it's really depressing because it's like, I understand the philosophy of Cuban people in the United States saying this is wrong and these people should not be treated this way. And the Castro regime and the current president are doing nothing or doing the bare minimum to keep people alive. That's fine. I get that. I respect that. I believe everybody deserves the right to be alive. Once they've come out of the womb and their mother and father decided they wanted them. Because if they don't want them, that's fine too. But once you're alive on this planet, you have a certain number of inalienable rights. And one of those is to be alive.
Mm. Yeah.
So I get that. But what I don't get is that those same people who are so anti-Castro and anti-communism are perfectly willing to starve these people to death.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It's like, well, you know, if you're against the government because they're mistreating their people, why aren't you against our own government mistreating their people too? Like, because we're also doing that. And you know, we've had, like you said, like we've had this embargo for 60 years. Like, do we think having it some more is going to make
it just might work 61 years and we might get them
61. That's the magic number, 61. If we can just hold out. Starve enough people for another
69
year.
Is the 69 is a sex number.
69 is a sex number.
That's right. That's what they're trying to get to. But it helps with their ideological project, right? Like, it's an example. Like you were saying, Katie, like, well, if we keep doing this, it makes it harder for them to survive. And then we can constantly point to, like, but we can't do healthcare because Cuba. We can't do, like, right? Like, that's
right.
It's a bipartisan effort in that respect. And I don't know. I always think, like, don't you people think that, aren't you supposed to think that, like, America is the best country in the world? So, like, if anyone can do socialism right, it's America.
Well,
give it a go.
Here's the thing you don't understand, Cody. It's something I like to call natural law.
Oh.
And nature, which we should talk about very briefly here.
Good. This sounds healthy.
Yeah. There's no
Newsmax.
No.
Have you heard of Newsmax? Are you watching Newsmax?
Am watching Newsmax.
Do you have channel 1027 on your cable box? Then you've got Newsmax, folks. And Cody, I would like you to tell us exactly what they're talking about on Newsmax right now.
Oh, they're talking about so much stuff. I love Newsmax. It's my go-to. I don't watch TV, but whenever I turn it on, it's like, oh, Newsmax here. What are they talking about? It's fascinating and a terrible channel. Don't watch it.
That should be their slogan. I don't watch TV, but when I do, it's Newsmax.
It's Newsmax. One of these little twerps on that station talking about vaccines. And basically the argument is, and we've seen shades of this sort of in the discourse for the past for all time, but also specifically like the past several years, the vaccines are against nature.
Yeah. Can we play the clip, actually? Why don't we play the clip here so people understand how insane this is?
You can guide me on this because obviously I'm not a doctor, but when I've always thought about vaccines and I always think about just nature and the way everything works. And I feel like a vaccination in a weird way is just generally kind of going against nature. Like, I mean, if there is some disease out there, maybe there's just an ebb and flow to life where something's supposed to wipe out a certain amount of people, and that's just kind of the way evolution goes. Vaccines kind of stand in the way of that.
That's what that guy said. It's very cool. Very
stuff.
Cool of him.
Yeah.
Very normal, very cool.
Chill.
That's just kind of the way evolution goes. You just die. Like, we just kill people. It's fine.
Right, but, like, the thing, it's... So, first of all, just... what he's saying and the phrasing and stuff is just silly because also everything is natural, actually. Vaccines are natural. Do we make them? Do we make a vaccine? Can you take things in nature that, like, exist and, like, make a thing? Then it's natural. If it was unnatural, then it wouldn't be possible, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's also funny to me whenever people refer to nature as, like, well, virus, you know, disease is natural. It's like, yeah, and sometimes species go completely extinct. Mm. Like... you know, it's also natural for species to eat their own babies. Do you want us to eat our own babies?
You know what's really not natural is your Hummer, your Jeep Patriot, your television showing you Newsmax, the clothes you're wearing, the food you eat, the lights that you turn on every morning, the air conditioner that keeps you from burning to death, the alcohol you drink to make your wife and child less annoying to you. The golf game you play is unnatural. The college football game that you watch on Saturday afternoon in your sweatpants with your fucking barbecue stains on your t-shirt, that's unnatural. All of it is, everything that you do every single day is unnatural. If you want to be natural, you know what you should do? Run out into the street naked and eat dirt.
Yeah, eat the dirt, eat the sticks.
Scoop handfuls of crap out of your own butt and throw it around.
I don't mean to be culturally snobbish here, because all the things that I picked were things that Republicans like. But everything that I do is unnatural too. The martinis I drink, the Starbucks coffee I enjoy, the Audi A4 that I drive.
It's all totally natural because we're doing it. The thing that's natural is like organisms reacting to their environment and assessing situations from a survival perspective, and in many cases working together for the survival of the species. That's like a natural thing that happens.
That's why we are here today.
Humans
because we
are
work
a
together.
Social species. We only survive this good because of our society. We're not the best animal.
We're very good at running.
We are.
Yeah, we're pretty good at
We can sprint. We get away.
We can do distance jogging. We're good joggers. Right, but like, other than that, we're kind of a sorry excuse for an animal. Other than our brains and our ability to be social and form a society and form technology,
yeah, we need each other.
That's the point. The entire history of humans has been marked by us creating tools. So when people say that's not natural, it's really you're talking about, well, that is man-made, and it's like, well, we have. Like you guys have been saying, we have so many man-made things. So what are good man-made things and what are bad man-made things? Well, I would argue good man-made things are stuff that keeps a bunch of people from dying. Mm. Keeps our loved ones, our parents and grandparents and vulnerable people from dying. Some people think it's just great when a bunch of people die for no reason.
Yes, and that's the thing. So here's what I sort of wanted to get to briefly. We'll talk about this in the future in other episodes, probably, and like on YouTube and things like that. But this idea of natural law, because what they're saying is, and I've seen this elsewhere in regards to critical race theory. We can't do critical race theory in school, which is just like we need to preserve our myths, basically, and we got to do that. But I've seen people now like we need to like get back to natural law. We need to teach natural law in schools. And what they're actually saying is we need to teach the Christian Bible as like this is the way things are. That's what they're talking about. The world is a certain way, and it's the book of the Lord. Man and a woman is this way. If you lie with the man and you're a man, it's this way.
Woman has triangle body. Man has non-triangle body.
Right. Triangle
as
body
I learned
does
from
this.
Bathrooms.
Triangle body cook. Non-triangle body no cook. Like it's all these sort of like quote natural the natural way of things. And it's an umbrella that can be anything to whoever's saying it. Charlie Kirk can talk about natural law and mean like, yeah, he wants like it's just like the fucking Christianity is what he's talking about. Christian conservatism.
For Charlie Kirk, it's natural to have such a teeny tiny face.
Large head, tiny face.
Like, it seems like these are fundamentalists who want to go back to some sort of, you know, religious ethno state. That's not necessarily.
It does seem like that, doesn't
but,
it?
Okay, there are some people that are like that, but the people that are driving this, the people who run Newsmax, the people who are on camera for Newsmax, want one thing: for their checks to clear every 2 weeks to get paid. These people don't believe in anything, and that's not the biggest problem, but it is a problem. Is when you have a mass media organization designed to subjugate 50 million people who do believe this stuff on some level. You know, there's probably people who believe 10% of this shit, and there are people who believe 100%. But if you can get each one of them to watch your channel, to donate to the Republican National Committee, to donate to Trump, to give money to fucking Ben Shapiro subscription money to his stupid YouTube channel or buy gold or whatever crap they're selling. Doesn't matter what you say. It makes life a lot easier if you don't believe in anything. And all you want is to take advantage of people. And that is what this is about. That is capitalism at play, folks. That is the problem. Is that everyone is so focused on how do I earn a lot of money that they will say or do anything. And that's where I fall on this, is that if we didn't have the profit motive being the most important thing to every single person on the planet, maybe we could work together. Maybe we wouldn't have okay. people who... Oh, go ahead.
Very
go ahead,
beautifully
well,
stated, but what about new money, though?
I was going to say, like, the new profit motive.
Right.
Oh, okay, so what if it was in the cloud?
What about ether clouds, you know?
What if we just dumped big bags of gold in the ocean? And then when we were ready to use them, we could. And
I love that.
And we just hide our money from people, and we hide all of our goods and services from people, and we just fend for ourselves. Kind of like the goldfish do, you know? They don't necessarily work in tandem. Oh, wait, they do, don't they?
Beautiful
oh,
segue.
No, they okay. Do. Katie, it's why don't you tell us it's what happening. Goldfish actually do? Because I know nothing about this topic.
Goldfish, like... do you guys know what goldfish actually are? What kind of fish they
they're
are?
Carp, right?
Gold. They're gold.
They are gold. They are carp. They're actually kind of orange. I've never gotten why we call them goldfish, not orange fish. You know what I mean?
To add value to them, right?
You know what I'm
make
saying?
Them seem more valuable.
People have been talking about this. You've been hearing this? You've been talking about this? Orange fish. Yeah.
Why do they call them orange fish? Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah. 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 But yeah, goldfish, there's big ones. Big old goldfish. They're big now. So
Ron Paul wants us to go back to the goldfish standard. Am I right, guys? Am I right? All right, sorry
about that.
That's
a good
that.
One. That's a good one.
Thank
that's
you.
Accessible. So yeah, apparently oversized goldfish are taking over a Minnesota lake, causing issues for the native fish in them. These seem to be goldfish that were released by pet owners who I guess they were tired of their fish and just threw them in the lake, which don't do that. Don't flush your fish. I mean, don't flush your live fish. And don't throw your fish in a lake. Your store-bought fish do not belong there. They are not indigenous species. The best outcome is they will immediately die. The worst outcome is that they don't die and they grow real big and start killing all the native fish.
Yeah.
So,
Katie, I have a question for you.
Yeah, go for
it. So if you get the little goldfish and you put them in like a lake, then they grow real big and then it becomes a real problem.
Yeah.
Would you say that it's also a bit of a problem that we sell these like tiny little guys who don't grow unless you let them out of the tiny little tank that we keep them in?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. So here's the thing about goldfish.
That's unnatural.
They are carp, which are, if you've seen a carp, if you've seen a koi fish, if you've seen any kind of carp, they're pretty big. They're big now. But so when they are in a fish tank, usually, and this goes for most species of fish that can get bigger in a fish tank environment, but don't. It's not so much the size of the fish tank. It is the quality of the water that they are getting that stunts their growth.
Oh, God.
So
that's worse.
Yeah, so goldfish are actually called indeterminate growers, not indeterminate showers. Am I right?
Yeah, yeah.
Up top. So indeterminate growers are animals that actually don't stop growing after they are young. So like, you know, like with humans, once you're, you know, about, I don't know, 20-ish, I guess, like you kind of just stop growing.
And
you
then
stop
you
growing vertically.
Really
am
slowly.
I right?
Yeah.
Up top.
Oh, just the top.
Yeah, but for some animals, like goldfish, for instance, they don't ever stop growing. Their growth does slow down when they're adults, and that's why we don't have like car-sized goldfish, but they technically continue to grow even after they've reached maturity, and there's no real limit to their growth other than their natural lifespan and just the fact that their growth is much slower once they get more and more mature. But they do continue to grow throughout their lives. And so they can reach up to 19 inches or 48 centimeters long. And, you know, they're big. They're meaty. And so they are far from that little cute little goldfish you get in the store, in the pet store. And they can also live for over 10 years, One goldfish reached the lifespan of 43 years. That is the oldest known goldfish in the world. So it is a little alarming that when we get goldfish from the store and we put them, they do not belong in a bowl, guys. If you are going to own goldfish, which I don't think it's always terrible to own goldfish, they need a full fish tank with a filter and plants and fun stuff.
They shit a lot too, right? Isn't that part of the problem with this lake? Is that they're shitting way too much?
Yes, they are very messy fish. If you are an aquarist, if you've owned a fish tank, you know how bad they are for the nitrate levels in your fish tank. They really screw with the chemistry.
That's why you got to put all that stuff in there, right?
Yeah, so you have to like be really careful with the pH in your fish tank. You need a really good filter. Also, if you have a planted tank, it is not recommended to get goldfish because they will uproot plants. And so this is exactly what's happening in the Minnesotan lake, where they are uprooting plants. They are causing an imbalance in the water. So it is an invasive species that is doing real harm to these lakes. And
oh, you mean like human beings? As a joke. We're an invasive species.
We're the real goldfish, if you know right. what I mean.
We also shit a lot and grow to indeterminate sizes.
That's true. Well, you might want to see a doctor about that.
I'm not talking about my penis.
No.
I'm talking about my waistline from eating all that fast
Happy
food.
National Dork Day. Wink, wink.
This has been a really, like, sexually active podcast this week, hasn't it? Please continue with this goldfish information. I did not know any of this stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, goldfish, they can get real big, and they technically won't stop growing, and they are in the same family as koi, who also can get even bigger and live even longer.
Where are goldfish supposed to live then? If it's not in lakes, if it's not in a bowl, if it's really not in captivity at all, where are they supposed to be in nature?
Well, so in nature, they're actually a freshwater carp that was a result of selective breeding ancient China.
Of course
so
it was.
So they're like the chihuahuas of the fish kingdom, I suppose.
So once again, we have meddled with the natural law, and this is what has happened.
You know, I think Pepperidge Farm is behind a lot of this because I think of goldfish as being very small, and they should just release a bag with one large one.
One giant cracker.
To let us all know that this stuff is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Goldfish crackers are fake news.
These are horrible, horrible creatures that must be stopped.
That's what we've landed
on. And you know
That's
what sorry. Else must be stopped? This podcast. What an episode. Oh my God. I hope that we've all had fun. Katie, did you have fun today?
I did. I love talking about huge engorged goldfish.
Do you want to come back and do that again? Or
talk about goldfish again?
Yeah.
Sometime?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, come back.
Okay.
Maybe
other topics too.
Yeah, maybe
if you love it so much.
Maybe instead of talking about boars all the time, you guys talk about goldfish. That'll be fun. They're the ones really ruining the planet.
Yeah.
Ooh, boars are a real problem. I don't know about that.
Yeah. I don't know if it's appropriate for me to do this, but yeah, if you want to hear more about animals, you can check out my podcast called Creature Feature, where I will talk about all the grotesquely large or grotesquely small or grotesquely medium-sized animals that you would like to hear about.
Disgustingly average.
I'm glad that you asked permission, but this is literally the time in the show
cool.
where we plug stuff. So I'm
done
glad
it already.
I'm going to plug my show, Galaxy Brains. It's a podcast about movies and television where we come up with insane theories, crazy theories about those things. For instance, we recently did an episode about Austin Powers with YouTube film critic sensation Maggie Mae Fish.
I love Maggie. Mm-hmm.
Where we talked about the sexual politics of Austin Powers and whether or not that movie trilogy is really about Mike Myers hating his own father. We also did an episode about Fast 9, wondering, is it possible that the Fast and Furious movies are a retelling of the Book of Revelations? I say yes.
Yeah,
My co-host, Mystery Science Theater 3000, host Jonah Ray says no. So find out whether or not I'm right or I'm wrong on that show. And Cody, you have nothing to plug because everybody knows exactly what you're doing, right?
I hope so.
Listen to
this show every week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Watch some more news on the YouTube. do all that stuff. Donate to politicians that are good and nice people that don't want to see you die.
Don't throw your goldfish in a lake or flush live goldfish down the toilet.
And if you're feeling like it, why don't you just go tweet at Katie Stoll and say, hey, Katie, I just want you to know I love you too. Every week she says, we love you very much.
The whole
sentence, guys.
All of it. Yeah. Love you very much.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye very much.